from the front lines, from the tailgates, representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yeah, we are. So, Forum for the Fans, Blues Day recap, world of sports. We're going to have a little discussion, and of course, New York Yankees talk. Now, if you're a Yankees fan and 100%, 200% a Yankees fan, you may want to fast forward this episode, maybe 30 minutes into the episode when we bring on New York Yankees talk. But it's Steve and Chris. Chris and Steve. Christopher, how you doing, sir? How's everything? Christopher? All right, Christopher has dropped. So, yeah, like I was saying, we're going to talk a little bit of Yankees about half hour from now. So if you're purely, surely, straight up for the Yankees, 30 minutes from now, just fast forward this episode 30 minutes from now. Because I know that's for the Yankee fans and want to talk Yankees baseball. Now we bring back on Chris. Chris, are you back there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sorry about that.
Hey!
Sorry about that. You hear me?
Fresh from the tailgate, sir. How's everything?
Yeah, man, that was fantastic.
Man,
that was had a good day.
Please.
Had a good weekend, actually.
Floor is yours.
Everything
man.
Worked out this weekend. So, go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah. By the way, for those, go check out the archives of the pregame and the postgame, Chris from the tailgate. Hey, Chris, you want a little more? I know you were kind of short on time from the episode from the postgame. How was that experience, man? As a fan, man.
It was a little bit more subdued. You know what I got to tell you? Those eight fans are—I'm not going to call them that. They were Saints fans yesterday. You know what? They were as appreciative. It's like being in New Orleans, man. I mean, they were very kind to be sports. You know, to be a visiting sports crew. You know, there was a lot of them out there. Not as many as you would have at, say, a division rivals game, but they came out there and they blended in very well with our tailgaters and with our casual fans in the stands or whatever. And it was kind of a nice experience. It was kind of, you know, wasn't too sunny out there. It was about 70 some odd, kind of overcast. We weren't as crazy as we normally get, you know, us Giant fans know, well, actually, you know, our Tri-State fans know better than anyone that, when a division rival comes in, say a Boston Red Sox, a New England Patriots, somebody like that, a Philadelphia Eagles, we get a little crazed. And this wasn't that kind of thing. Yeah, this time it was sort of like an agreeable kind of situation. A lot of handshaking, a lot of hugging. Not as much fanfare as we usually have. The tailgates didn't go as crazy as they do with all the bluster and all of that. So actually, it made for a very more. And I'm getting ready to say this way, more of a family fun type of experience this time. But it was very nice to have been there. The game wasn't the highlight. I think the highlight was the fans, the camaraderie, and just the Giants nation just being as gregarious as they were. Man, it was a very, 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 very good day. Very good experience. And like Steve said, check out the archives, man, on Instagram, man. It was just really, really, really good fun. Even
spectacular
Jets fans
pictures.
Were
yeah, spectacular yeah, pictures good. And footage by the man himself, Chris. You know what? We'll probably have even more detail on the Giants episode this weekend on the preview show versus the Redskins. Hey, but listen, we got to talk sports, Chris. We haven't done one of these in a while, man.
Okay.
I have to pick your brain. You can pick my brain. What's going on in the world of sports? Okay. College football, NFL, boxing. Man, where do we start, man? It's so much to discuss.
Well, you choose it, and I'll follow your lead, man.
Oh, let's
matter.
Go. We're talking NFL around the NFL. What is surprising to you around the league, the NFL? And I want to get to college football, man. And then, I got to talk about that Triple G fight and Canelo Alvarez.
Well, let me tell you. Honestly, the biggest surprise thus far are the New York Giants. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
All your so-called experts out there, your call letters on in both print media and especially television media, sort of push them aside because they're more – everybody's always what's the word I'm trying to find, Steve? Infatuated with the team from Texas's star on the helmets and trying to bandwagon that and all of this. And, you know, we defeated that team, and everyone sort of like, if they didn't make an excuse about it, they sort of dismissed it as just a fluke. And then yesterday they went to Washington. Washington screwed up. And all of a sudden now the D is back. I don't want to say their names, but the Dallas team, they're supposed to be back now. You know, it's just so crazy. No one ever. Now, we didn't play. We didn't look spectacular. We, meaning the Giants, didn't look spectacular in our two games. But we're 2-0, and we're leading our division thus far after two games. And you have to say it that way in the NFL because, you know, with 16 games only, you know, this we are. You know, that's it's a playoff experience. To me, every game is a playoff game. So word of surprise. Everybody supposed we were supposed to be left for dead. They discounted the fact that we improved our defense. They totally dismissed the fact that we do have some weapons left offensively, even though they may have fell short yesterday and the day and the week before. But word of I think word of surprise thus far.
I like to look at it and say that I feel like we are.
What else?
I don't look at the Giants as a surprise, honestly. Because of all the shows we've done.
We're so invested.
Yeah. Now, I mean, that's why I don't think it's a surprise.
We know them. Mm-hmm. We know them up and down. You know, there were some things I could have brought up, but we have a Saturday show for that, so I'll wait for that.
Okay.
What about other teams? Let me see.
I'll give you two, actually.
Okay.
My surprise, and to a degree, I'm going with the San Diego Chargers. And although they are 1-1, they could easily be 2-0. And they were really up big on their road game in Kansas City week one. Mm-hmm. And they dominated the Jaguars, who are also my other surprise. The Jaguars, who are 0-2, getting slacked, destroyed.
Yeah, they did get smacked around a little bit.
Yeah, those are my two surprises. I don't think nobody had the San Diego Chargers, including me, on the radar as far as a team, a complete team. I mean, it's still Phillip Rivers to Antonio Gates. Melvin Gordon has ran the ball very well. And the underrated signing of Travis Benjamin from Cleveland has really, really stepped up. Even that offensive line, especially with Franklin and on that right side of the line, has really gelled. I really slept on the Chargers. I think a lot of people had them like third or fourth in the AFC West. What about – and the Jaguars to me, I think that was everybody's glory pick, including me. And that's really surprising that they're really stinking up the joint.
I have another surprise.
Okay.
And I want to know what you think about them.
Sure.
They're 1-1 in the NFC West, the Seattle Seahawks.
The Seattle Seahawks. I knew you was going to go there, man.
Okay.
That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me.
Why doesn't it? I want your take on that. Why is that?
The Rams, even when they were in St. Louis, have played the Seahawks well. And that home opener, that was a dangerous game to pick. If he was doing a survivor, the Rams have always played the Seahawks well for whatever reason. It's kind of like they're the same type of style. The only difference is the last couple of years, Seattle has probably better quarterback play, maybe a little bit better eliteness. I would say eliteness, but better wide receivers on the outside, a better line. But Seattle to me is not the same offensive team without Marshawn Lynch. I know everybody likes Thomas Rawls and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not.
Right.
No, when we watched the Seattle Seahawks, especially in there about 2 to 3 years ago, and their height, and I still think they could get far. They probably could still make an NFC title game. They're not the same team with Marshawn Lynch. It's just something about beast mode that makes them go offensively. That they do not have right now.
I'm glad you brought that up. Offensively.
Yeah.
They beat Miami, who is just destined to have the number one draft
barely
next year.
It ain't their defense. It's not the defense.
It's not the defense. It's execution of the offense is what it seems like to me.
I mean,
Christian Michael has 126 yards for these two games, and he's their what I would call their. You know, you're right. It's beast mode because you can tell that dimension is gone. And it, it just I was getting ready to say that he's their workhorse, but you know what? You got to have Marshawn there to do what you the same damage and keep the identity that you've had the last three seasons. They beat Miami, who's definitely going to have the number one draft choice next year. That's my early dark horse choice. I mean, to get the first draft choice in the draft next year. They beat them 12-10. It's not like a baseball score.
Correct.
And then yesterday, they didn't score at all. Well, field goal, but they lost to the Rams 9-3. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, where's the smackdown? Where's the powerhouse? I thought you guys were supposed to be fighting with Arizona to get something done. Now, they have a chance next week with San Francisco, but I'm going to let you know right now.
It's going to be another dog fight.
That's by their fourth game.
Yeah, it's going to be another one.
Yeah, so those are my two surprises. Everybody dismissed my Giants.
Were you surprised on the last night's game? Packers-Vikings, the Vikings winning that, especially without Adrian Peterson. I think he's out for the year now.
I think he's out for the year. I picked the Packers to win that game
by three,
and I lost it by three.
the Vikings winning the game is one thing, but winning it without Adrian Peterson, would you ever see that coming? I would never have saw that coming.
No, because I discounted the fact that Sam Bradford and Stephon Diggs would be that potent.
That's why I didn't see it.
You know, I didn't know that they had it in them. And damn, Bradford looked like he did back in Oklahoma. You know,
I know, right?
He came out there firing, and Diggs, who was coming on last year, really the announcement needs to be made that he is here. He's here. He had 182 yards, if I remember correctly, Steve, in the air. And a spectacular touchdown. He just lapped the field. Is he the best
wide receiver in that division?
In that division, though. Well, you still got Jordy Nelson on the other side, man.
Okay, you got Jordy Nelson. Who would you put?
You got my man Jeffries over there, Chi-Town. You got
He's more explosive than Jeffries, but I get your point.
Yes, he is. I'm missing somebody, but I know there's someone else.
You could throw on Golden Tate. You could throw in. I mean, I'm looking at the wide receiver corps for the Lions, Jones and Bolden. I mean, you could make a case for Stephon Diggs, is my point.
Yeah, you could. You could. I just don't believe in him in that way. But, you know, it's funny, man. Take that game, for instance. You got Sam Bradford basically outplaying Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bradford got hit, too, by the way. At least six or seven times that I saw. You know, he was sacked four times, but he ended up really digging in and doing it. And I don't know, man, without no offensive line and Adrian Peterson gone, I don't know. I can't really call them. Their defense is not that bad. Linville Joseph, man, I don't know. I'm a Giant fan, so I can't really say what I want to say in terms of how well he's playing.
Yeah, he's played well, man.
Well, Anthony Barr. Oh,
yep. The linebacker from UCLA, former linebacker from UCLA.
And this secondary really confused Aaron Rodgers, man.
Harrison Smith is one of my favorite safeties in the league. I talk about Harrison Smith often whenever I had the chance when we talk Vikings football. He's very good, man. That guy's got good awareness, man. He's got covers. What you thought about that Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game?
I didn't see all of it, sir. Unfortunately, I didn't see all of it.
Oh, that's right. Of course, she was at the game. I mean, just for the fact that Pittsburgh won the game, and, you know, Antonio Brown really didn't do any much damage. And, that's probably I would call it the new Pittsburgh-Baltimore series, but they kind of got a little distaste for each other.
Yes, they do. It goes back a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Because they had some battles in the 70s that were – the Bengals were short probably. I would say that the Bengals, if I remember, because maybe 1975, the Bengals had a damn good team, which was sort of like an 11-5 team or 12-4 team that was poised to just smack everyone upside the head. They had beat Oakland that year, which was – you remember those Oakland Raiders? That wasn't an easy feat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But that was also a year where the Steelers must have had about four shutouts and maybe all together on offense and defense, Steve, if we go back and Google it, I think you can count maybe about 18 Hall of Famers on that team. Something like that. Damn near the whole defense for sure. So yeah, they couldn't get past that, and something developed from there where Cincinnati and Cleveland already had a natural rivalry, but they're also in a division with Pittsburgh, who was not supposed to contend at the beginning of the 70s. It was just supposed to be between the Bengals and Cincinnati. And all of a sudden, here comes Pittsburgh in a gigantic fashion, as you remember. And all of a sudden, it was a three-team rivalry there that just couldn't be denied. So, can't say that. Then Earl Campbell came along. So it was a four-team rivalry in that division. So it was because he was with the Oilers and who are now the Titans. And that was very, very intense. So, yeah, they're going to have this. In that particular division, you're gonna get a lot of hatred. You're going to have a lot of banging, a lot of barnstorming, as I call it. But they did win that game. They did win that game. I'm trying to figure out, okay, this is my little issue. The coach of the Bengals, I'm losing them right now. I'm trying to remember.
Oh, Lewis, Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Lewis. You know, he's been there a long time now, and he's the Cincinnati's had some pretty good records lately. I don't know. I think he gets vilified though for losing to the Pittsburghs of the and the Ravens of the world. You know. And he's got to get past those obstacles. And that's actually as a team, this is Marvin Lewis's team.
Well, they did win last year against them. Not just, thus far this year they haven't, but they did.
But it's got to be
them
consistent
last year in the regular season.
You know, but it's got to be consistent, and hopefully, also that in the playoffs last year didn't help either. But that wasn't any of his fault. But I don't know, man. He gets vilified somewhat unfairly, but I'm not sure by this time, since he's been there forever, I don't know how much more I can defend him. That's what I need to say.
Outside of that, man, I can't think of anything else in the National Football League that surprises me, honestly. We'll get to the hockey with the hockey stuff, but I got to get your thoughts on college football because it's been crazy. The NCAA football has been way more crazier, in my opinion, way more, 10 times over than the NFL. Did you see that game? I think you had made in courtside about Florida State. I think that was the game.
Yes, I did.
My goodness. What happened to the Seminoles?
Was jarring.
What happened? Is Louisville that good or is Florida State that overrated?
No, Louisville's good. Louisville's good, but it was a little bit of a combination of both. Okay. They weren't ready for this kid, Lamar Jackson, who is a true beast. I saw him play the week before against Syracuse as well.
Heisman?
Yeah. He's easily the Heisman forerunner. No offense to my man over there at Clemson. But
he's only a
sophomore.
He's a kid from Florida. He's only a sophomore.
Yes. Now, when you beat the number two team in the country 63-20.
That is an ass whooping. That is bad.
Okay, and Bobby Petrino is their coach.
Oh, that's scum. That guy, he made bail on Atlanta Falcons, went to, was it Arkansas, making sui calls.
That
the next
was
day
the worst thing I've ever seen an NFL coach do.
He's back on the mat.
That still pisses me off. That still ticks me off. Now, he quit on them. He left what, Steve, you were closer than I was. Was that the 14th game or something?
It was deep in the season. I think the Falcons, were done. I think, matter of fact, ironically, the Giants beat the Falcons on a Monday night. That's when I think Shockey had a good game at the Georgia Dome. And then, the next day, he was, at the Arkansas press conference. It was crazy.
Talk about
and
Suey.
He took a bat. Suey, he was on that Suey stuff. He
yes,
took
he
a
was.
Big hit, his reputation. And, I mean, it took a while. It's been what? 8 years, 9 years?
Something like that.
And now
I seem to remember
when like
this, I have a vision.
Like,
yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm
no,
done.
I have a vision of his last game, him coming off the field, and D'Angelo Hall yelling at him. I see it very clearly. And if I have to go back and check that out. But D'Angelo Hall was yelling the hell out of his ass. I mean, just going off on him, and no one stopped Hill as far as assistant coaches or whatever, and or no players, and he just caught it from him. Next thing you know, the next day, I think Steve he put notes on everyone's locker, something like sure. "Thank you for giving me the opportunity" or something like that. And you're right. Later on, that was the morning.
That was the morning.
And then in the evening, he had a press conference. The new coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, and what's the name of the running back? They were the big running back, Heisman hopeful that they had. He was right with him, talking Suey Pig the same way. I think he's with Dallas now.
I think McFadden. Felix Jones may have been on that team too. I think he's on that same team.
I couldn't believe it. I said, "You quit?" Because I was pissed off at Nick Saban doing that before with
LSU, correct?
Yes. And I was like, "Hey, now you know that was bad enough, but Petrino took the cake with that one. That's just plain out cowardice, right there." But he's right now got the big team going on there. I didn't see the new standings, but I assume they are charging it up.
I haven't seen them either. I couldn't even tell you, but I'm sure they had to at least go at least four spots, five spots easily. After that,
that's what I saw. And these were early games, man. I mean, you took out Florida State. That hurts Florida State's chances right there. They're done I know it looks like just it's one game, but reputations are something, man. I mean, woo, 43-point win. That was the big one.
They had a lot of people had them, or a lot of people in college, people that had them going to the national championship. It was between them and Clemson coming out of the ACC. This is a game changer when it comes to that. As a matter of fact, can I really say something else on another game? I am religious as much as I am with the Giants football. I watch SEC football like I watch Giants football. I can't go a Saturday without watching SEC football. And it's like watching a mini bowl, Chris. That Alabama-Mississippi game was great on Sunday.
Yes, it was.
Great. Did you see that game?
Yes, I did. When the Crimson Tide was down 24-3, I said, okay.
You knew it was coming.
I did, but I didn't expect
Alabama. They're like walking momentum swings. You know they're going to come back. You know they were going to come back off the goofiest stuff, off the opponent.
I don't know. You knew it wasn't over. That's what I was trying to say. You knew it wasn't over, but I concentrated on looking at the bench at Ole Miss and seeing that, okay, you guys are not really sure of yourselves, are you? And sure enough, you know, Crimson, well, when their special team seat. Alabama's different. You know, okay, the offense isn't working, fine. Defense isn't working, fine. All of a sudden, special teams show big time.
Defensive
touchdowns, like this one here in this game at the end of the second quarter, the start of third. It was incredible. But in this particular case, Alabama didn't throw the ball very well. I didn't think they did.
That's a team that's not going to really wing it. That's not their forte. That's not their identity. Anything with that is an extra when it comes to them. It's like, to me, it's kind of like watching SEC football. It's like, who's going to really piss Alabama off this week? Who's going to really test them? Mississippi, to me, it was a little too late. They got down with that turnover, and Alabama returned it for a touchdown.
Yeah,
I think it was a pick or a fumble, something along those lines. But it was a great game because the way Mississippi, Ole Miss jumped up on them and Alabama came back. The Oklahoma, Ohio State, or Oklahoma game had a lot of hype. But to me, Ohio State dominated Oklahoma. Ohio State is just a phenomenal program, man.
Ohio State looks like they're poised to take this. Look, that's why I need to know. I didn't see them. I need to know what the rankings look like because I know
they got to be number two at this point. They'll be number two
easily. They might have been higher than that, Steve, but I'll get back to you with that one.
And Oklahoma might fall out of the top 25 after losing to Houston. And that's another thing I want to get your thoughts on. Houston, have you watched them? The Houston Cougars?
I'm hearing about them, but I haven't seen anything.
They are loaded. I mean,
what did they do? Did they keep everybody home or what? What did they do recruiting-wise, you think?
I don't know. I guess it comes down to a lot of these. I think a lot of the it's kind of some of this has to do with we're in 2016. If you're a top recruit or even an average recruit, you could go to any program in the country and make it do what it. Like I said, like I don't know, 20 years ago, you only went to the big schools. You went to Notre Dame, you went to Penn State, Ohio State, schools like that. Now these intermediate schools are getting good recruits because they're getting noticed. I think it's exposure. You have your own tapes. It's easier to get to other coaches and
programs
football kids.
Yes, it's
all interconnected. Almost like how we said with the basketball. And Houston beat the crap out of Cincinnati too. That was on last Thursday, the same night as the Jet Bill game. This is another game I wanted to talk to you. We probably have another time. Oh yeah, that was a game. I was real shocked at how Notre Dame went up 7-0 and then really didn't do nothing else since Michigan State scored 35 straight against them in their building.
For some reason, that didn't shock me, though. I kind of felt that would happen. I just
35
have,
straight
whatever.
Points? 35 straight points?
Well, not that many straight points. I knew they would. I thought it would be a better struggle than that. Particularly defensively on Notre Dame's edge. But, you know, real quick, Houston's 7 now. They moved. Louisville is Houston is 7. Louisville moved up to 6 to number 4. Alabama stays put. Ohio State's number 2 up two spots. And all Clemson right. Hills steady at number 3. That sounds about right. So I did that. So that was that's what's happening. On that
man.
What else you got, homie?
I mean, there's so many games I could go through. We probably won't have enough time. We'll have to probably get that on another time. But let me ask you this real quick on the box. Did you see the Alvarez fight?
Let me tell you what I did see about that. I saw the last 3 rounds.
Yep.
I saw, man, look, as a former fighter, I can tell you, if somebody hits you with a left hook to the liver.
Yeah, it hurts.
You hurts. You're paralyzed. Mm. There's really no – your head may be competitive.
Yeah. It's like a delayed reaction.
Your body is done. You are paralyzed. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing. You can't make an excuse of it. That's a very sensitive situation. And he pounded to Smith's credit. He was hit there repeatedly and kept coming, you know. But Canelo is Canelo. And, man, look, he was overwhelmed. Oh, Smith, that I'm talking about. Smith was overwhelmed from the beginning. I mean, it must have been from the beginning. I just saw I came in around the seventh round. You know, by that time, Smith was already bleeding. He went down that round. And he still had a nice flurry at the end. And Canelo was like, damn, what do I got to do with this dude? And, you know, but he forced him to retreat, and that was okay. And round 8 was pretty much the same thing. You know, that vicious left, that left to the liver.
Yeah.
Damn! He hit him there twice, and that was a 10-8 round, too. And then the only thing I saw, Steve, is the end of the fight. You know, Smith just didn't want to go away, and I was looking for his corner to say, dudes, get in there and help this man out. And when he went down for the bot, his corner was still standing there, and the ref was like, nah. Your ass is getting ready to go to the infirmary, man. You can't do this. But
now
they
also. I'm sorry about that.
No. I just like the fact that it's time to take a harder look at Alvarez. That's the 6th straight win he's had since that Mayweather fight. I don't know what the pound for pound say these days, Steve. You know it. I guess I got to ask you. What are they talking about? I know Oscar De La Hoya wants Triple G, and Canelo to go something about $10 million each or something like that.
I don't know. I think they could get more. I think they're gonna have to wait a little bit, man. I think they could get more maximum dollar for that fight. I don't think I don't think they're gonna. Golden Boy is gonna come to terms with the Triple G kid to get that to go.
Okay.
I don't think it's there yet. I don't know if Alvarez's camp is even still wants that fight yet, yo. Honestly, I mean, I'm not even talking about Golden Boy. I'm talking about his immediate camp. And I know you had a little thoughts about Triple G and all that other stuff, but
I like him.
I think
he's the most complete
fighter. I think a lot of people.
Boston.
Oh yeah.
I don't think. I wish in a way Floyd would come back and consider this. I like the guy. You know what? He has something that a lot of fighters just don't have anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a hell of a lot of poise. He is steady. There's not a lot that can shake him in or out of the fight. When he's at these press conferences, he's not trying to really, you know, be flamboyant or anything. He's like, I'm ready to fight. Where's the ring? His body's always ready. What is he, about 5'10", maybe? And
mm-hmm.
since he's a middleweight, that's 160.
Yep.
The style that he has is I love it. I'm trying to find words for it.
All right.
He reminds me of a fighter that we used to have called Alexis Arguello.
Yeah, Arguello. You mentioned that before, yeah.
Yeah, always in shape, always focused. But it's a natural focus as opposed to an adjustment. You know, he's a totally calculating pressure fighter. I
mm-hmm.
love it. I love
yeah.
it. Everything is balanced. He has precise punching. His balance is perfect, and he's really methodical in his delivery, man. And
yeah.
And has the nerve to be powerful on top of that. That's just
yeah.
perfect. He's the perfect fighter to me. So, and he's
yeah.
only getting better. And I'm pretty sure the Mayweather camp, Cash Money, whatever the hell they're called, I'm pretty sure that they see that. I'm pretty sure they see that. And that's why I think he ought to stay retired, unless he wants to come back and get the big money.
Yeah, understood,
you know?
On that. Well, hold on, man. Let's get into the world story. We got to talk about the best franchise in professional sports, team sports. What's
Uh-oh.
Going on with our New York Yankees? The Blues Day recap.
Oh boy!
And of course,
let's
of
bring
course,
the man on.
The dugout. Kenny D, I am shell shocked. What happened last Thursday? They hit me with an uppercut. Well, hit me with a liver shot. Kenny D, what's up, man? New York Yankees.
Yeah, me too. The season ended last Thursday. there was no recovering from that.
There's
no recovering from that.
He's right. That's it, man. What, you know, Kenny D, how you doing first off, homie? How you feeling?
I'm doing all right. Looking forward to the Ranger season starting in a couple weeks.
Hey, look, man, I got a question.
I'm watching the Giants
couple,
on Sunday.
Hey, oh, that was awesome. That was
Kenny's
very
helping on this. It's full bail on the pinstripes. It's full bail?
No, I'm still watching.
Okay.
I will too. but Kenny D, have you ever torn a term paper up and then had to find tape real quick because you couldn't get a copy of what you did? You know, that's what the Yankees look like. They are they're torn up, and so you got to go get Billy Butler and who was Mason Williams and
mm-hmm.
Donovan Solano.
You got to get these guys.
Yeah, I know.
What's funny
is that I think what people don't realize is that the Yankees have not won since Aaron Judge got injured.
Yeah,
Aaron
correct.
Judge was the key to success.
The Judge.
He was the key. His two strikeouts every night were the key, apparently. No.
But wait a minute. You got Castro hurt. You got Ellsbury hurt.
Yeah, they're not going to push it anymore. Like, I think if they were still in this race, they'd push to get these guys back sooner rather than later, but they're not going to. Make an effort.
Real quick, Ken, can you walk us down exactly what happened on Thursday night? That the giving up the lead they did in Fenway, up in the late inning, and the disaster. I mean, how did you feel watching that, man? As I did, and on the other screen, I'm watching this. So they're blowing this.
Oh boy.
I mean, what happened was Betances couldn't get anyone out. His curveball or his breaking ball was flat, what it was. He was just spinning up there on the plate. And the Red Sox, these are good hitters they have. They're not going to miss those hanging breaking balls right down the pipe, especially not Hanley Ramirez, who was already on fire. Right down the pipe. But what happened in that inning is they come in with, what, it was a 5-2 lead, right? 5-2 lead going to the bottom
of the ninth. Yeah, it was like 5-2.
Tommy Lane quickly gets a strikeout.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like Aaron Hill, right? A pinch hitter for Jackie Bradley Jr., a right-handed pinch hitter. Quickly strikes him out in 3 pitches. So they bring in Blake Parker, and Blake Parker then hits Chris Young. So they got a man on first. Then they bring in Betances. And Betances gives up, hits Pedroia, hits the Bogarts. I think he actually got Bogarts out. Then he gave up a single to Ortiz, single to Betts, and then just a shot to Hanley.
Just a shot. Kenny D, who the hell is Mookie Betts, and why is he taking away all the extra base hits?
Mookie Betts is, I think, top 3 candidate for AL MVP. He's having an unbelievable year.
He sure is. Who
the hell? He's a converted center fielder. He played center field most of last year when Jackie Bradley Jr. wasn't able to hit, well, wasn't hitting, so they benched him most of the time. So Mookie played center. This year, they figured Jackie Bradley's a good start. They made him starting center for the Mookie over to right because Jackie Bradley does have a stronger arm. He has an unbelievable arm. Not that Betts doesn't, but he's a converted center fielder playing right. He's got solid range, solid arm. You saw those 2 diving catches on with his Gardner and Teixeira's line drives. He caught both of those. He's hitting like 320, I think. Let's see, he's hitting 314 with a 350 on base percentage, which isn't great. He just doesn't walk that much. But what stands out to me is 30 home runs, 106 RBIs, and 24 stolen bases. That, you don't see numbers like that too often. The guys, a lot of guys that hit 30 home runs have a 0 speed anymore. He still got some speed, anything for average.
Yeah. Hold on, guys. We got to get the infamous Knickerbocker Avenue, our source, and should be your source for the streets for our New York Knicks. But you know what? I mean, this was the officially in Boston was the twist the knife series. This hurt. That one hurt. Avenue, how you doing, sir?
I'm sorry. I'm kind of like, I've got to lay on my stomach right now because the back is. It's full of knives and cuts and all kinds of shit. fortunately, on Sunday, the New York Giants pulled one out for me, but I still have about 20 more in there. So, right now my son's working on pulling them out one by one, but, man.
The broom. And especially after losing to the Dodgers. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But you know what? Real quick fact. I am the source of this great, and I know we're going to cover it on Wednesday. But, hey, welcome back, Lewin Munson, to the Knicks. Happy he's back.
All right.
Back to the task at hand here. I know Boston's a good team. I'm not one of those that, that just hate them just for the sake of hating them. And say that they suck. I recognize that they're a superior team. This so far has been their division to win between them and Baltimore pretty much all year round. And them too. I never really thought Toronto really would have gotten to it. Tampa Bay wasn't going to be anything. And the Yankees were just going to be, spectators depending on how you look at it. But when they start to make you believe that they could possibly make a run at it after all the moves that they've made, and for them to, all right, Steve, you were right. That Dodgers series is kind of like, you can kind of let that one go a little bit. But to go to Boston and lose 4 straight, in the manner in which they lost every single one of them, they had a lead in every freaking game. Almost.
Every last one. Everyone.
And you know damn well that the dancers has the, you know, yeah, he has the capability of, you know, every now and then to, you know, to throw a homer in there, but to not get any single guy out in that last inning is what really pains me the most. I mean, for him to have coughed it up, I'm okay with him blowing a save every now and then. I mean, hell, he's got 5 for the season, but really. For us to have lost every single game, especially last night's game, when we were already up 4-0.
I was done after Sunday. I was done after Sunday, man.
I mean,
you have more threshold with that knife than me, Af.
This is how real it is for, you know, for the stakeholders who are listening at home or whoever downloading. Coming into the series, the Yankees needed to win 13 out of the next 18 games in order for them to control their own destiny. You just took off 4 right off the bat. That means they can't lose a single one going out. And that's 3 more games against the Red Sox at home. 3 more with the Orioles. I think it's 4 more or 3 more with the Orioles. And still got the Blue Jays and the Rays.
Yeah.
That's just tell you, folks. It's exactly how Kenny D opened it up. That's the season, folks. Listen, sit back and enjoy it.
And get ready
for for hockey to come back. Get ready for another the team minus 3 more weeks. The NBA is back into preseason, and let's just go back to bleeding blue, not Pittsburgh, but
I have a historical question for Chris. But before I go to Kenny, go back to Chris. I got to ask you, Chris, when it comes to this. Now, this is probably up there with going to Boston, the magnitude of the games. I mean, you can look at it 2 ways. You can look at it, okay, these were house money games. We were playing with younger talent. We weren't going in there with our main horses, and we were coming off a big winning streak. We lose 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers. Can you think of a series where it sucked more? I could go back. Of course, a lot of Yankee fans could go back to 2004 after the 3-0 comeback the Red Sox did. What other series can you think of versus Boston that it really hurt losing to them? This is up there to me to a degree because I thought we were playing with house money. But not don't tease us with win streaks and then lose 4 in a row in Fenway. But can you think of any series historically?
There was. I'm trying to remember the year.
Mm-hmm.
I wanna say it was the late 70s when Dostrzemski and Fisk and all of those guys were there. And we had Thurman Munson, Catfish Hunter, Reggie, of course.
Mm-hmm.
There was a series where we went to – it was a 4th of July series when we went there and we lost 4 straight. We got our asses beat. And it was under Billy Martin, and it just was really bad. And somehow in the middle of the year, well, a few days after that, Billy Martin got fired by George. And we got Bob Lemon was our manager. He came up, they promoted him. And Bob Lemon sat everybody down, and he said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go out there, and we're going to play the best we can, and we're going to win. And somehow the Yankees kind of slowed down. They were like 15 games out, and Boston was obviously was the clear cut winner to just win a World Series, man. You know, for the first time in 50 something years at that point. And for some reason, we started soaring. Boston started falling down, and then in the second week of the second week of September of whatever year that was, we went to Fenway and we won 4 straight. That's why no one ever thinks about that anymore, that other series loss earlier in the season. But I don't know what year it was, but I was a kid, and I remember we kept it moving, and we went on and we won the World Series. So I'm guessing it was 78. Maybe, because I was a kid then.
78 was the Bucky Dent year, right?
That was the year. It was that.
So that might have been the same year.
I'm pretty sure it was that year.
Because Bob Lemon was the manager of that team too. So.
As a matter of fact, yes, that was that year. Because I was
in the '70s.
Yeah, that's what it was. But to answer your question, Steve, earlier that year we had gotten blitzed by them, but we got blitzed by them in Yankee Stadium. A whole series, and that's when it got really low. And you know, if you know anything about the and Knickerbocker Ave, I know you know this. If you guys know anything about how vicious the New York press is, sports press is, especially back in those days before Twitter and social media, oh, they let them have it. George is an idiot. Billy is inept. He's a friggin' drunk. Reggie's overrated. He should stick to fucking eating his candy bars instead of selling them. They went off. Ricky Rivers is a stand-up comedian. Thurman should retire. They went off. Greg Nettles is the best thing since sliced bread. Too bad we don't have any sliced bread to play third base. They just did all of this kind of stuff, and they really dogged out the. And the Yankees started believing themselves. I mean, believing the press. I mean, the bad press. But for some reason, when Bob Lemon took over, things just did a complete flip. And everything changed. And then we went to Fenway and we whipped their ass. So that's the year. But it's kind of buried in folklore about that sweep earlier in the season, Steve, because, you know, of the way it turned out at the end of the year. So that's what happened.
I want to go back to you and then go back to Ab. But, Kenny, as far as the series, and you said it was over. I thought, you know, we had a nice little run with the I guess you could call it the young guys and all that. But the way to lose at Fenway the way we did, especially, what game really bothered you the most and why? And also, what other things with Yankee fans, you know, having these discussions game in and game out between Thursday and Sunday, like what were their thoughts gathering it up on New York Yankees talk?
I mean, I think it's no doubt that first game hurt the most. But that's not to say that the other two come-from-behind wins by the Red Sox weren't painful. Like, I think you could have salvaged this series had you won games 3 and 4 and still left yourself in striking distance of the wild card. I think you would have been, like, 3 back instead of 5 back at the end. Maybe only 4 back, depending on, I'm not exactly sure what it would be, but within striking distance, and games 3 and 4, you get this. But with CC on the hill in game 4 specifically, let's go with that one. You're looking good. You're up 4-0. And all of a sudden, the tides start to change a little bit. CC makes that error in the fifth, and all of a sudden it's 4-3. And then it's 4-4, and then it's 4-5, and it's just over. And it's just kind of like demoralizing. Like, the season's over now. There's nothing you can do about it. You got to wait till next year. Yep.
And then,
all right.
I'll go back to Av too, because Av on that game on Saturday, especially when they got off to that early lead, you know, like Kenny said, they could have salvaged this thing to a degree, although I thought it would have been over. But even just to play, and the fact that we went up in that third inning and then they responded, I'm talking about the Red Sox, and then we went up back with another 2 runs, I think it was the fourth or the fifth inning. We were actually up 3, and then Boston responded maybe a couple innings later. And then once Kimbrel got on the mound, we just couldn't do anything at all, like just batting-wise. But what bothered you extremely the most in any of these games, even if you want to go back to the L.A. series, what's your thoughts?
Personally, I think Thursday game really hurt. But I think that the Friday game was to me was a telltale sign that the season's pretty much over at that given point when you really couldn't do anything against Buchholz. I mean, really nothing. I mean, he was just on, and he just made the Yankees look really silly. He had them guessing pretty much all game long. That was a telltale sign to me that there was a very good chance that we weren't going to win the series, but that we were probably going to walk out of this, you know, a little worse for wear, just the way that, you know, first of all, Sessa had not, I mean, he started off pretty well, but then the bullpen going after that, was just atrocious. It's bad. I mean, Justin went five innings, gave up six, that's three runs, and he struck out in one, gave up a home run. But then after that, I mean, you just look at the stat line. Just look at that box score, and you're looking at it like, wow. It was like, what happened in that fifth and sixth inning that was such a disaster for the Yankees? And really, it's just, I think the Friday game hurt more because Thursday set the tempo. You know, they were able to knock off the Texans the way he did. Friday, they capitalized. On the fact that they had the big guy on the mound, and then Saturday and Sunday, I think the Yankees pretty much nailed it in. And to be honest with you, I think that the KD has something to do that. I think that the fact that we haven't won since Aaron Judge went down has something to say. But that's the part that kind of bugs me. I think Friday hurt the most. I was watching that game very closely, and I thought that just the way that Buckholz was commanding the plate and just keeping the hitters guessing, that to me told me this series is over on Friday.
So you gave it to Friday, where I kind of like, I said that weeks ago, but they put us out of our misery, especially that Thursday game. But what about you as far as historically? Where would you rank going to, it doesn't even have to be going to Fenway, they could have came to the Bronx. Where do you rank losing in this particular series to the Red Sox historically? Like, how much, like, you know, which is it top five? Where is it in your top five? Is it in your top five? What's your thoughts historically season? How do you feel about that?
It's definitely not in my top five. Obviously, 04 is by far the worst. I think the 2000... I'm thinking the 2002 season, that postseason kind of hurt. 2006 really hurt.
Yep.
2010 definitely hurt, and of course 2012 really stuck. Most of our biggest losses occurred in the postseason. You know, considering that, you know, we've been in more meaningful games considering us a Yankee. But when it comes to regular season, I mean. Probably around 2006 or 2007, we were still among the best team in baseball, but it was a weekend series that we played against the Mets in interleague play where they kind of swept us out of right out of the city.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
And it looked like even though we were the best team in the American League, we were not going to win that. We had the best record in baseball, and we were not going to win the World Series. And when we got to the postseason, it was very evident. And I think that's where this series in Boston kind of ranks it. It's kind of like that's where you know that the positive vibes of the season are pretty much have left the building, and now it's time to start looking at football, basketball, and hockey again.
It's time to go to other sports. It's time to go to other sports.
Hey, it was either that or you know, just wait for the Canelo fight. That's pretty much me.
You have to have some sort of diehard gene to really. I mean, we're all gonna watch. We're gonna see what's gonna happen. But just to going forward, man, it's pretty much a wrap, man. Chris, any additional thoughts before we go for Kenny for final thoughts?
No, sir, none at all. Let's go to Kenny D. Classic.
So, hey, Kenny, you know, at Tampa, and then you got Toronto. What you're looking at as far as, I mean, you're just playing the play. You're looking at development. What's your thoughts, man? Your extended final thoughts, and how everybody can find you on New York Yankees Talk.
Yeah, so first off, you can find me at New York Yankees Talk on Facebook. It's all up there. To answer your question, I think at this point we're just looking to get some good at bats in from the younger guys. Get a few more good starts out of Sessa and Mitchell, see what we have for next year. Maybe Tanaka can make a run at that Cy Young because he's still but he's had a phenomenal year, kind of under the radar. His record might not show up, but he's an AL ERA leader. And he's been more valuable to this team than his numbers may show. But that final thoughts, you know, I think it's important to remember at this point that we kind of threw in the towel on July 31st. The fact that at this point, with 15 games left in the year, we were still relevant coming to this series of the Red Sox, is a testament to what these young guys can do. I think there's a lot to look forward to, I'm definitely I'm psyched for next year. See if we can make a little better run at it.
Yeah. New York Yankees Talk, Facebook, also at New York Yankees Talk on Twitter, man. Thank you very much. Kenny T, he's getting ready for Rangers hockey and also Knicks basketball. Mm-hmm. You know
Knicks
it's over. He's double-dipping in the Madison Square Garden, going to Dolan twice. Thank you very much, Kenny T. Knickerbocker Avenue, your final thoughts, sir, on the Yankees.
It's very sad. And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about A-Rod, that David Ortiz is going to be honored at Yankee Stadium. And
yeah. Oh, my God,
yeah. God. And he's just as big a cheater as Alex Rodriguez. The only thing is that people like him, and that's it. My final thought is exactly what Kenny D is that it's incredible that this team mailed it in on July 31st and they were still relevant. It's a huge testament to not just the young kids, but to Joe Girardi and his ability to manage and to pretty much, you know, put up some kind of a lineup, some kind of a formidable threat against opposition. And, you know, it's a great testament to Cashman. And to me, I think he's, you know, he may not be the GM, you know, the executive of the year, but he's definitely, you know, making a strong argument against it. And we only got, like, 3 more weeks for the Knicks to come back. That's what I'm kind of worried at this point. Oh, and thank you, New York Giants, for pulling at least one knife out of my back. Thank you very much.
Pulling one knife out of his back. Oh, wow. The infamous Knickerbocker Avenue, your source for the streets for your and our New York Knicks. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Knickerbocker Avenue. Follow, please, guys. Av is strong, man. He's taking a lot of knives, Chris. Chris, your final thoughts on Yankees, World of Sports, and then
I just would like either Chris Sale, Archer, Jose Fernandez, or any other free agents, potential free agents out there to kind of look at Yankee Stadium as a nice destination for your future career. It's got nice fans. You know, we wear pinstripes. Nice location. Nice woman if you ain't married. You know, there's a lot of places to eat there. You know, I think you need to check it out. You know, great organization, a lot of history. You know, I think you really should check it out. I think you three guys should really, you know, get together and take a road trip up to Yankee Stadium and see what we have to offer. That's an open letter to those three pitchers right there. I think they would make life a lot brighter if they just would seek employment in Yankee Stadium next season. That's all I got to say about that, Steve. That's my Yankee final thought. I have nothing else to say about the way this season is ending.
My final thought for the Yankees before we get off. If you were to predict what was going to happen from spring training, I don't think we would have saw the 2016 story develop the way it has and the way they're going out. But the house money situation with the young guys, I'm actually excited for the future. I mean, I'd rather have lost 4 straight or 3 straight to Toronto, Tampa Bay, Baltimore, but not the Red Sox. I mean, you could have gave me anybody else on the schedule.
Amen.
Not them. It's something about losing to them that it adds to our back and forth history with them, especially recently over the last 20 years. But I might have to actually, let's look into that. You know, talk about that more because I didn't want them to put us out of our misery. I mean, not that we're already out, and that's I've been saying that, but they really made it official, and that was heartbreaking. Watch, especially on Thursday. That really hurt it. And despite that, I already knew we were out. That made it official. But anyway, For the New York Yankees talk, Knickerbocker Avenue, Stephen Chris, Blee Blue Show, we're about to be cut off. You already know. Sangre Azul, always.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Blee blue, blee blue, blee blue, blee blue, blee blue, blee blue.